today in the studio, folks, I got a real treat for you. Jefferson Rogers, what's cracking?
What's up, my brother?
If you guys don't know who he is, you can follow him on Instagram at Jefferson K. Rogers, just like it sounds on most social media. You can go JeffersonKRogers.com. He's out there. He's got a freaking successful business making millies, built it from scratch, you know, developed sales skills. So he trains, you know, all kinds of different people on all kinds of different things. But I would say entrepreneurial sales training, you're getting into speaking. You know, a lot of people are liking your story. You got a podcast that's starting to pick up some steam. What's your podcast called?
It's called the Jefferson Rogers Podcast.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
The old Jefferson Rogers. Anyway, he's all ripped, has a successful business, so everybody's starting to listen to him based on what'd you do, how'd you do it type of thing.
Yeah, some real life experience.
And you're dropping valuable content on social media on a regular basis, so everybody
appreciate that.
Go check his ass out. But now you're on Dropping Bombs, friend, so all we're going to do is shoot the shit. You heard it before? Are you a listener?
Absolutely, dude. I'm a listener.
Oh, good. You're in the bombs squad.
I haven't listened to every episode like I've heard some of the people on the podcast claim to, but hey, I love listening to you.
Some people are addicted. But anyway, glad to have you.
Now, appreciate it, man.
Here's my question. Okay, go back before you had a multi-million dollar company. Who were you?
Oh man, I got a cool story.
Well, who were you?
I could tell
before all this. Who were you? Just a dude, married, not married, running around, drinking, smoking, what?
Yeah, a little bit of all that.
Where'd you live? Utah?
Grew up in Utah.
So you were Mormon.
Raised LDS, Mormon, like all kinds of history in the Mormon church.
No longer Mormon?
Most of my family is. I haven't been to church.
What turned you off about that?
Well, I think I've always just questioned everything. I don't ever just believe what people tell me. And from a young age, there was some hokey stuff going on that just didn't seem to make sense to me. And I never did a whole lot of research. It just wasn't something that I felt right about. So, you know, 9 or 10 years old, I just chose to go the other direction.
You know, when you say question everything, I've always questioned everything. Maybe that's a trait of successful people.
I think so. Yep. Yeah, you'll never find a highly successful person that just does what they're told. I don't think so.
I've never really considered that. Maybe we just discovered some new content.
There you go, buddy.
Because again, I do question everything. Everything. Like, I question it, and you question everything.
Absolutely. And there's certain things that we've grown up with and we've been conditioned to believe. There's a lot more stuff that we should be questioning that hadn't even hit the radar yet. So I try and keep my eyes and ears peeled for everything that I should be trying to pay attention to, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Would you say being skeptical is good or bad?
I enjoy being skeptical and curious.
Skepticism. Look up the word skepticism, folks. Pay attention. A lot of people will say that's a bad thing, to not be so skeptical. I would say be skeptical.
Yeah. Be curious.
Be open, but be skeptical, a little skeptical. And by the way, skeptical is more, I don't know about that. Like questioning things. That's what I do. Cool. So what were your parents when you were growing up, like high school age, back when were you like freaking poor, rich? What were you?
We grew up, it seemed like we had a lot because my mom was able to make do with what we had, and she was really active. I was the oldest of four boys, but my parents were just kids when they had me. I was an oops baby, and my parents had moved to different states to get away from each other and found out that little Jeffy boy was coming, so they tried to make things work. We ended up having three more brothers. So there's four of us. And my dad's a firefighter, 27 years, Las Vegas Fire Department. My mom has worked in the financial services, banking industry. She now works for me for the past 2 years. But we didn't have a lot growing up.
So average.
Didn't really know it though.
Yeah, that's how I was. But blue collar, average, you didn't have a ton of money.
Huh.
So when you turned 16, did they buy you a car?
My dad had a commuter truck. It was a stick shift, 1995 Ford Ranger.
And he let you have it?
It was his commuter truck, and he let me have it when I turned 16.
Okay,
I blew
you were a rich
kid. I blew
the
motor within 4 months.
So you were a rich kid.
I mean, we had it pretty good, man. We had it pretty good compared to some.
Yeah, dude, to me, getting a car when you're 16 was the rich families in town. Like, shit.
I mean, my dad did well. He's a firefighter. He was making 100 grand for, you know, a good portion of his career.
So you graduated high school, I assume.
I did, yeah. High school was a joke.
Are you the oldest of the four?
I am. My dad's name's Jefferson also, so I was the oldest of the four boys, named after my dad. And high school was so easy for me. I was stoned basically from the time I was 13 or 14 years old all the way until I was 33 with a couple of breaks in there. But I graduated high school with a 3.2 and hardly even had to show up.
Why do you think that is? Is you're just naturally smart or because the school was that shitty?
I think school is just that shitty. It's so easy. It's completely pointless. I told my kids that my little girls get homeschooled now because we're trying to actually offer some value in their life. My son goes to school because he can't think of the possibility of not being around his friends all the time. But I've told him since he was, you know, 9 or 10 years old that this is basically like our version of a babysitter for you, and just go have fun because I don't give a shit what your grades are.
Dang, you told him that?
Yep.
Does that affect his behavior at school?
He's a fantastic kid. Amazing kid.
Well anyway.
And he does well, and he shows up. And I mean, school's so easy, you don't have to hardly try to do well.
So why Windows?
Dude, I lucked into Windows, I guess you could say. I was a mechanic at the time when I got introduced back in 2014.
Auto mechanic?
Diesel mechanic. I went to school to be a motorcycle mechanic. I had lost my driver's license for like 6.5 years, and I was trying to get out of these same patterns repeating for my hometown and all the same friends and drinking and partying every single weekend. Thought if I change the scenery and go out to Phoenix from Utah, go to Motorcycle Mechanics Institute, get away from some of it, that might help. And it did for a little while. But I ended up, instead of being a motorcycle mechanic, I was a diesel mechanic because, I mean, you can't make a whole lot of money doing either one of them, but I had a connection in the diesel mechanics. And it was 70 hours a week, like watching my kids grow up over cell phone pictures and miserable, and got introduced from a friend, kind of ended up being a mentor of mine, and got started in the sales game, coming from smoking weed for most of my adult life at that point. It was an interesting transition learning how to do sales because I got my teeth kicked in for the first 18 months.
Do you think smoking weed affected you in a negative manner?
Yeah. Some people, I know people, my boy Mitch here can smoke, and he does his job great, and he communicates great. When I smoke, I mean, I'm completely worthless to the world. I'm in my own little space. What's that?
What are you smoking?
I mean, it just started with some dirt weed back in the day. But
I know, but weed's different nowadays from what I hear.
Yeah. It didn't matter
now,
for me.
Now you can buy certain types of weeds that do certain things. Like there's a sativa and there's a indica. You were probably smoking indica.
I would like to believe that if I smoked a different kind of weed that I wouldn't be a worthless piece of shit.
Would you smoke weed if you did?
I tried them all. Trying to make sense of it.
Well,
I just couldn't.
I always tell people, don't smoke weed, only because if you're asking me for my opinion, don't drink, don't do drugs, don't smoke weed, don't do any of it. Why? Because it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But no one listens. So if you're going to smoke weed, I'd make it sativa. I just joke.
Well, Mitch could probably give you some recommendations too.
Indica's in the couch. That's how I connect them.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, because I used to smoke weed.
They were all in the couch for me. It didn't matter what it was.
Well, that's probably because you've never had these new strains. These new strains now, you can smoke them.
It may have been.
And, dude, they fire you up. They get you creative. They literally motivate you. Am I lying?
But, I mean, I was around in those days still smoking weed and going to the dispensaries and picking between the hybrids and the sativas indicas, and I tried them all, but I was still just as worthless.
Oh, good.
When I smoked any of them.
Good. I just wanted to make sure you didn't lose out on a nice, good, solid sativa.
No,
buzz.
I had to make
people are going to think I'm promoting weed, and I'm not. But go ahead.
I had to make a decision whether or not I continue down this path and just stay as the guy on the couch or if I try and live up to some of this potential that I know that I got, and one of the things it's going to take is you can't fucking smoke weed anymore.
So you cut out the weed.
Cut out the weed and the alcohol on the same day, 3.5 years ago. 2 months later, I started my business.
And that was only 3.5 years ago?
3.5 years ago, man. We'll do 20 million this year. It can happen really fast if you get focused and get some of those fucking distractions out of the way.
100%. Well, what about, like, it wasn't just stop the weed and start the drink, or stop the drinking that did it. It's like windows and discipline. And what's the daily habits that you think are key to your success?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of things that happened along the way that started to help me realize that I wasn't goal-oriented and I wasn't disciplined and I needed to start getting some of these things in my life. 2 months before I quit drinking and smoking, I had started doing the 10X Ambassador Program with Grant Cardone.
OGC, Uncle G.
Uncle G, yep. It changed my life. There was some of the introduction to the discipline and the daily habits that I had used to replace my bad habits with, like getting up before the sun comes up, quitting the drinking and the smoking, writing your goals down morning and evening, reading a book.
Do you do that, write your goals down morning and evening?
I do every day. Yep. I was talking to Mitch about writing my goals down right now because they've changed. My perspective has changed on it so much that I kind of get like anxiety and a little bit of an adrenaline rush when I write my goals down now, because I know all of those things that I was writing down back then, like the ridiculous astronomical 10X goals, I've accomplished all of them. And I thought they were like 5 or 10 years out, and now they're already behind me. And now the big goals that I'm making and the work and the action plans that have to come with those are, you know, they're admitting that you got still got lots of work to do.
Yeah. So you weren't goal oriented. Four.
No.
And you said one more.
Goal oriented, disciplined.
No discipline.
No discipline.
And then what kicked it all off is Grant's program. He started saying, you know, get up early, beat the sun up, write down all your goals. What else?
Get out of obscurity. I started
getting known.
Live Facebook calls, start to get known. That started my journey.
Now, were you already doing your business at this point, or you started this, then you started your business?
So I was doing sales at the time, and I was working for a window company.
Okay.
But,
Did it up your sales
game? Oh, yeah. I mean, I started having the best months ever. And
isn't it crazy that, like, dude, like, get up early is rocket science? People?
These are all so simple.
Yeah, but like you didn't know to get up early, bro?
I didn't know it was going to, all of these things were going to have that big of an impact.
You didn't know to write down your goals?
I think a lot of people instinctively know some of these things, but actually getting around to do them consistently is the problem.
That's right. Get known, get out of obscurity. What else?
And I think there were some others. That was 3.5 years ago. But it led to some realizations and reading books and some other goals and things that I wanted to start doing. So as I started gaining the confidence from being able to do these things consistently and gain some discipline in doing them, then more of these things started to come up. Like, okay, what's the next one now? So now for the last 2 years, I finally got my ass back to the gym. And me and my wife partner up and go together. So it's also an opportunity to spend some time together. So every morning we wake up at 4 o'clock and we're at the gym by 5 working with the trainer whenever I'm in town. And so now
that proves you're a closer, your wife.
Oh yeah.
When you had her here running around the event we did, people were like, hey, I'm like, dude, that's Jefferson's wife.
Yeah. Yeah. She's wherever we go, she's the hottest lady in the room.
Proves you're a closer. That's what I always say, dude. Tell me you're a closer, I'll look at your girl or guy. You know, but I'm gonna look at what you're closing.
Oh, that's another intentional content that we can do. Prove to me that you're a closer without telling me that you're a closer, and then we pan over to my wife.
Dude, there's a guy I won't name on here, but there's a guy I saw the other day. I'll show you afterwards. He's a closer. Like, holy shit, what a closer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so. But holy moly, what a closer.
Does he have a personality?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some matchups like that.
more self-development, how did you know, like, because when you start reading the books and you start seeing, okay, this self-development, I call it just self-development. So you got into self-development thanks to Grant, started, you know, attacking more books, getting up, you know, realize, you didn't get up earlier and earlier, you just still get up early.
Yeah.
Hit the gym, you got into fitness, that's where we left off. So you started hitting the gym.
Yeah, so.
You weren't hitting the gym prior?
Off and on a little bit, never consistently though. And okay. The dad bod had gotten out of control. It had gotten a little fluffy after being married for 7-8 years.
Yep.
And that was, big confidence booster. And also for the energy levels that you need if you're going to run a multi-million-dollar business and train people and work crazy, ridiculous hours and run off of 4 hours of sleep like I do. I mean, you got to keep yourself in shape. You got to eat healthy and you got to fuel your body.
How important do you think working out is?
I mean,
to success.
For success, I know some successful people that don't work out. I mean, I've seen some pictures of you. You were pretty fluffy there for a little while.
Still am.
And you're fucking successful in my eyes.
Still am. Still am a little fluffy.
But for you to be making the best impression on people and to still be pushing to the next level and to have like complete confidence in where you're going and where you're and what you're doing and what the next level looks like, I think being in shape and eating good and having that energy just accelerates that process.
That's right. I just wrote the word optimize. That's what people got to understand. Because I always hear people, you know, you don't have to work out. There's a lot of fat, rich people. Well, number one, what's your idea of success? Because let's say you're rich and fat. In my book, that's not successful to me. Why? Well, because, dude, I want to run around with my kids. I want to have the energy to, you know, I want to look good. I want to feel good. Not only that, the confidence booster, the energy level, the clarity of the mind.
Absolutely.
And so when I see someone that's wealthy and fat, I think to myself, oh, got some work to do. In other words, that's not successful. That's not the trifecta.
And that's not the first impression that I want to leave.
Yeah, you have to get in shape. And nine times out of 10, when you see someone in shape, that tells you what? Discipline. That tells
you discipline.
They care about themselves.
I know a lot of people that are broke, that hang around the gym, they look great, but they're not successful. So,
well, that's because in their own world, it's the opposite. Like they focus on the gym, but they can't focus on the work. They can't focus on the self-development. They can't write down their goals. They can't get up early.
A lot of other pieces of the puzzle you got to put together to.
Well, that's what I'm trying to whittle out of you in our time today. Because right now, if people are listening and they're taking notes, okay, you weren't goal-oriented. You weren't very disciplined. You know, you questioned things, you joined a program, Uncle G's to be exact, 10X Ambassador. You started to realize, hey, get your ass up early, start reading books, start writing down your goals, start giving a fuck, if you ask me. Hey, get known, get out of obscurity. Get out of obscurity, key. Okay. Start reading, you'll gain confidence, right? You'll start to develop yourself a little bit more. You start to become a little more valuable to the world, but more importantly, yourself. You get confidence. Then you decided to hit the gym, started hitting the gym, realized that accelerated everything. And by the way, this is all within 3 years. It sounds like we're talking about a 20-year span, dude. This is like all in 3 years.
Yeah, it's...
And not only that, like you just did a bodybuilding contest.
I did.
You were shredded.
I did. And the year before that, I did a race, a motocross race. So it's the more that I've realized once I put my mind to something that I can accomplish things really fast, and I've used my what I used to have a problem with addiction and drugs and alcohol. Now I'm using that same energy, but I'm just applying it towards growth and advancing as a person and a father and a business owner. And I committed to doing a motocross race at the beginning of 2020, and I've trained my ass off for it, and I beat the next closest guy by 12 fucking minutes. I didn't even have to train as hard as I did, but I didn't want to leave there any chance for second place. Then same thing happened with this bodybuilding competition. It was my first bodybuilding competition. I went 100 days without any cheats. And you saw me around here when I came for that event. I was walking around with Ziploc bags of hamburger meat.
I love hamburger.
I did that for 100 days. Hamburger meat and broccoli out of Ziploc bags.
Yeah, but do you love hamburger?
I love hamburger. And I had some sriracha in there, so it spiced it up a little bit. But still, man, I love ice cream and I love chocolate chip cookies. And there was no cheating at all for 100 days because I wanted the best chance of going in there and winning.
That's discipline.
Yep. And it doesn't just happen overnight.
75 Hard helped you with that.
Yeah, that's kind of what gave me the confidence to be able to do that physique competition was finishing 75 Hard.
Now, see, when you say confidence, I almost want to say, dude, that gave you the certainty.
Yeah.
Because 75 Hard teaches you that you can. And that certainty usually transfers to confidence. But it's the certainty that 75 Hard gives you.
It is, yeah. So that's my way of explaining it. But it's almost like I'm so certain that once I put my mind to something, I know that I can accomplish it.
100%.
And you just get over the fact that it's going to take some work. It's going to be a period of time where it's going to be eating out of Ziploc bags, or I'm out training, riding my dirt bike 3 times a week, hitting the gym, doing cardio. You just come to terms with what it's going to take, and you're certain that if you follow this and you're disciplined, you're going to win.
How many people talk shit along the way and are no longer your buddies?
You know what? I think I don't have any of the same friends, and it's not like I really ever heard them talking shit. Sometimes I manufacture stuff in my head just to help me like push and keep pushing to the next level. But I've been blessed, man. People, for whatever reason, they support me in whatever I'm doing, even if it is talking shit behind the scenes. And supporting me to my face.
When I started working out just recently here, I get a few, come on, dude, going a little overboard. And quite frankly, I'm not. And
yeah.
But you always get those haters that start chiming in when you start to improve yourself.
I have had some. I had a friend of mine call me that I used to go to school with. He called me when I was just starting to do all those Grant Cardone like challenges and the 10X and wearing my hat and talking about coming out of obscurity and massive action. And he called me one day out of the blue after I hadn't talked to him in like 18 months. And he tells me, bro, you need to slow down. You only live once. I mean, you got a family. They're going to grow up without you. And I was like, dude, we haven't talked in almost 2 years. It's like, what made you want to call me today and talk about this? Just
what'd he say?
He was, you know, I don't know if it's like genuine concern or if he was coming from a place where he knows he could be doing more and he's justifying it because of these excuses that he's telling me I should be thinking about. I don't know, but I've had a couple like that, but for the most part, I've gotten a lot of support and I got a strong family and friend support system around me that is...
You look at him? Is he part of it?
Mitch is one of my good friends. Yeah, I didn't know him just a couple months ago, but I have a tendency of making...
Dude, how can you not be friends with a dude with a stash like that?
Seriously, right? Yeah, he's an easy guy to like.
So you got a support group around you, but did you have to make any eliminations of people that were kind of in that circle? But
yeah, I think one of my first mentors, a gentleman that trained me in the window industry, he's a great guy. At that point, like one of the most successful guys I'd ever been around. He had reached like a $400,000 or $500,000 a year income, and I was trying to emulate his success exactly. And along the way, I picked up some bad habits. He was a whiskey drinker, and we would drink whiskey all the time. And I'm not only am I a worthless piece of shit when I smoke weed, but when I drink whiskey, I'm an angry, ignorant, arrogant, like blackout drunk fool, and I got myself into some trouble. So I love that guy, and we still talk occasionally, but there's some people that, you know, you just have to either limit your time with or cut them out completely because they're not going to help you progress where you're going and they don't align with your goals.
Now, is that, you just said they won't help, they don't help, and they won't help you progress. What if they are neutral?
I mean,
what if they don't really help you, but. Man, they're your buddy, dude. They've been your buddy for years. Why would you cut them out just because they're not helping you?
Yeah. I mean, I have some friends like that too. I mean, only one or two that I care about and call and want to keep in touch with just because, you know, most time they don't give a shit about keeping in touch with friends. It's funny what happens after high school is you lose touch, and it doesn't become so important to have friends anymore to me. So,
well, you got a family now.
But I got a family, and
wife's
when
friend.
You talk about neutral, so I have some family members that I could probably consider neutral, but I still love them, and I still want to spend time with them. Like the family reunion stuff, it's not like all of them are going to be on the same level as me or going to help me in my journey to reach my billion-dollar status and all the big goals that I want to hit. I still love spending time with them, though, and making sure that they know that I see you and I'm coming for a hug every time I see you.
You a hugger?
Yeah.
So now, are you building the business this whole time that you're learning all this stuff?
Yeah.
You're building it. You're also working all the time. How many hours a week were you
all putting? The time? Crazy hours. Ridiculous. I'm still working crazy hours.
So there's
I literally
no excuses
got 4 hours
people.
Of sleep last night.
So there's no excuse for people. I don't have time. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to read books. I don't have time to go to these conferences and build a business.
There's always going to be excuses.
So you just do it. What
you
time
just
you
do
wake
it anyways.
Up in the morning?
I got up before this morning and yesterday.
What's on average? What time?
I mean,
on average,
Monday through Friday, I get up 4 o'clock every day.
4 a.m. What about weekends?
On Saturdays, I get up 6 because the gym doesn't open as early as it does on the weekdays. So I'm at the gym by 7.
You don't need it. You work out every single day?
Every day.
Every single day?
Every day.
No rest?
No, I've got a membership at like 5 different gyms because some aren't open on Sundays, so I got to be able to work out on Sundays. Some aren't in, you know, Nashville when I go out and see coach, so I got to have one at Planet Fitness out there, which, you know, I go to different gyms in Utah. And so, yeah, pretty much every day of the week, unless I'm like back-to-back meetings and conferences, I'm at the gym every day.
Do you ever feel like, nah, I ain't going to do it?
Sometimes.
Have you ever acted on it?
I just do it anyways.
Do it anyway. Now, when you started that business, obviously zero revenue, but
yeah,
how quickly was there decent revenue? I mean, did you struggle at all?
So what had happened was I didn't struggle at all, man. I'd started down that road of massive action, all that stuff that Grant had helped me get aligned with my discipline and the daily habits, getting up early. I had my best 2 months ever. The last 2 months I was working for that other company.
When you say massive action, were you talking to more people, you know,
yeah,
shaking more hands, closing more deals? You know, how does that help you starting a business?
So
how do you take more massive action than?
Well, in my industry, door knocking, the more people you talk to, more hands you shake, more money you make. So I had gotten into habit because I was making more money than I'd ever made that I'd go out and set up one or two appointments a day and I was good. I'd go hang out. I was making my own schedule.
So you were voluntarily doing that.
Yeah.
And then Grant tells you take massive action and you started talking to how many?
So then, you know, you go from talking to 30 or 40 people a day to now I'm out knocking for 6, 7, 8 hours and running appointments in between there. And you're talking to twice or three times as many people.
Now, why do people think that's rocket science? Like, well, how come we can't discover that shit on our own? Why did someone have to tell you that, like, more action causes more results?
I think it's discipline. And I've heard you say this before. It's like, listen, if you want to double your income, just go out and do twice as much because you know you're not doing as much as you could be right now.
Yeah, and it's simple. When I say it, people are like, duh, that's easy because mine's do more, get better, and scale.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own way of saying shit. When people come to me and they want to double, you know, their business, I'm like, okay, well, all you do is you get your numbers down, whatever your numbers are, and you double them. You know, you double your business by doubling your handshakes, doubling your presentations, doubling what you do. And then you get rid of the shit that doesn't work. That's what it boils down to.
Yep.
And then you get better at what you're doing, which is self-develop and read books and freaking
training. Grant Cardone University helped me in the beginning.
Exactly. You business. Get better. Yeah. And then you start making more because you're better. You're doing more, and all of a sudden, dude, that you're describing exactly what happens. You start to gain confidence. You start to sit up a little bit taller. You start to get. For me, I got a little more pissed. Like, God damn it, why ain't I been doing this longer? Yeah. I need to hurry up. So now people start running, and now guess what happens? People start talking shit. Well, you block that out. You get rid of the idiots. What my little sacred six is, you get rid of the idiots. and you keep going. Then I started to visualize what success looked like and realized I had no idea, which most people don't have an idea what success looks like. So they're never going to really find it. And then, you know, get new information every day. You're saying it your way, but dude, it's literally the same exact path as mm-hmm. me, the same exact path as other people I know. Success leaves clues. And if you emulate someone 9 times out of 10, you will get the results they're getting. Because like action causes like result, yes or no?
Exactly. Find somebody that's doing it and emulate what they've done. And you just got to come to terms that it's going to be more than what you're doing right now. But if you want to take it to the next level, you can't keep doing the same shit and expect to get different results.
Yeah, that's like freaking common sense, but people don't have it.
I mean, literally everything we're talking about right now is just very simple success principles. And most people intuitively know what they are, but not very many people take action on them. And I didn't either for a long time. Now I've just made a commitment to be an action taker.
How big of an action taker are you?
I would say among the best.
So if you saw an opportunity, man, you just pull the trigger. You don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid you know, of losing?
I have confidence in my ability to deliver.
And
when
or,
I commit
and
to
or
something.
Adjust.
Uh-huh. You know, I believe I was probably the first person to commit to going to your real success event. As soon as I saw it pop up, I bought it that day.
Yeah, boom.
If I know
like something, like it was in an instant. I think you were.
If something aligns with me, I'm making the commitment right there. I don't even know what I got on my schedule, but whatever it is, I'll figure it out later.
Yeah, well, people better pay attention to that one. There's a lot of excuses. Well, I wanted to go to that, but I had already scheduled this and that, when in reality, it's just a matter of priorities. But you value that networking, you value relationships, you're valuing the right things, which is why you want to go to these things.
Yeah. And I have more and more over the years, because I spent a lot of years being stoned and not wanting to talk to anybody. I was one of those guys, when I get stoned, like Mitch, his eyes don't get red when he gets stoned. You can completely tell every time that I've smoked, even 4 hours ago, because I look stoned. You spend years and years of doing that, you kind of like keep to yourself and everybody fucking knows I'm stoned.
Do you think he looks stoned when he's stoned?
He's never seen me stoned.
Oh, you have never seen it?
It's been 3.5 years. I quit January 8th, 2018. I've never done it since. So most of the people in my life right now, they say, I don't picture you as a drunk or a stoner. I was for most of my life, for 20 freaking years straight.
And you didn't get any professional help. You just decided to quit and quit.
Yep.
So then you had some sort of innate, because I have people that I say, dude, just quit. And they're like, dude, I can't. It's hard. What would you say to those people?
Your why is not big enough. I have friends that have gone through the treatment centers. I have a friend right now that's at a treatment center. I helped him get there. Some people can't do it by themselves. But I've got a big why. I've got a family. I got 3 little brothers. I got a mom and dad, and they're all now relying on me. They all work for me. And before even any of that happened, I didn't know what it looked like, but I knew that this wasn't my true self. It didn't align with who I wanted to be and the version that I knew that I could become. And so it was just finally listening to that, my conscience that had been talking to me for years and years and years, saying all these things. And then one day it was just finally admitting I had a problem, committing to my wife that I was going to make a change. And I was able to just turn it off and focus all that energy on positivity.
Did your relationship get better?
100%, man. My wife could tell you some stories. The fact that she's even still with me after all that shit is a fucking miracle.
Well, a lot of times, because husbands or guys, they don't really understand that when they talk about shit and they never do it, it kind of hurts relationships. Like if your wife, even if she loves you, sees you and hears you say, I'm going to someday and I'm going to start this, and you don't for whatever reason. Because I've done that a million times. And you don't realize when you say it to your friends and family and then you don't do it, they don't say anything half the time. Some of them will rib you, but usually they don't say anything, but they also don't say that that their respect for you is dwindling. Yeah.
That's, I think that's one of the things that I made a commitment early on after being exposed to some business people and some close people in my life of getting to experience that firsthand and them not delivering on the things that they say. It was like, I don't ever want to be known for somebody that says something and doesn't do it. So it's one of my core values in my company. And the reason why, when the opportunity came to do that ambassador program and it was $1,100, and when I should have been out knocking doors, I'm sitting there scrolling through Facebook instead. I called my wife and I said, we got $1,100 left in the bank account and I'm about to pull the trigger on this ambassador program. And I hope you trust me. But because of...
What'd she say?
She's always trusted me. She's got my back. She's my biggest supporter, because even as big of a shit show as I was, I always did what I said I was going to do. And I still do. So if I got to spend $100,000 on a mastermind program that's going to help me structure my business and bring it to a $200 million level, that $100,000, she doesn't care. She already knows that I'm going to give my all-in effort on that program, and I'm going to get every bit of value out of it because I said I was going to.
Yeah, and worst case, man, just relationships from that event. See, people don't understand, because I always hear people when they're like, $100,000 mastermind, that's stupid. Who would do that? And I'm like, dude, are you stupid? Like, don't you realize, what's magical information are they giving you? It's like, yeah. It's not always the information. It's the networking. It's the who did you meet that was there.
Yeah.
Number one, they had 100,000. That's a good sign. Okay. What are they doing? Oh shit. Their business aligns with your business. Their friends now are your friends. Next thing you know, dude, you're making multi-million dollar deals with people that you met at those things.
Yeah. And if you're committed to get value out of them, you will. If you expect to get some success out of that, you will
every time.
So that's where, you know, being skeptical about that kind of stuff. I'm not that skeptical about that kind of stuff. If I make a decision to spend $100,000, it's my responsibility to go get the freaking value out of it, not anybody else's.
So now everybody working for you, do they get access to you a lot or no?
Not as much anymore. We grew so fast in the sales department, and I was at every single meeting for the first 2 years, and that they had lots of access to me then. But we grew so fast that we outgrew all of our fulfillment and our ability to deliver at a world-class level for our customers. So I've pulled back from the sales a little bit to be able to build out the fulfillment and the operations department. Because one thing as we grow to 200 million is I want to continue to be able to offer the best service in the industry and be known as, there's nobody out there that you can get windows from that is going to treat you as good and going to follow through as well and have the support system and the service after the sale like JKR Windows is going to.
So what's your next step with JKR? Are you going to franchise it? You going to freaking, what do you want to do with it?
I mean, I don't know how we get to 200 million, but what I've learned is that.
Where are you at now, 20?
We'll do 20 million this year.
Well, you get to 20 million, you get to 200 by doing 10 times what you're doing now.
Yeah. But the things that I was doing at 1 million are so different than what I'm doing now. So we're not doing 20 times as much. I just got smarter. I got exposed to more systems and processes and ways of doing things from people at a higher level who had done them. So it's a combination of doing a lot more plus all the exposure to different ways and more efficient ways.
That'd be getting better.
Getting better. Yep. Every day I'm trying to get better.
And then what about scaling?
Scaling. I just...
Do you know how do you scale?
I mean, I'm not like the sophisticated guy that could give you a definition of scaling.
There's only two ways.
Let's hear it.
People and technology.
People and technology.
Period. If you're going to scale your business, you need to focus on people and or technology. Usually it's both.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, you know, leverage technology to scale your business and revolutionize and scale to the moon. Most times you're going to need people. Or yeah. Technology. So when you go to scale the business, it's people and technology. You already know that.
I think it's a combination.
What technology do I need? So if I came up and like hung around for 30 days, your business, and literally figured out what everything you're doing, I'd scale it with technology and people.
100%.
And you'd get to 200 million pretty easily. The question is like right now you're in Utah mainly?
Utah, and we've got our licensing in Clark County and in most of the cities.
Are you here
Las
yet
Vegas
or no?
Area. Yeah.
So you sell shit here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, why aren't you? Are you in LA?
No.
Are you in Nebraska?
No.
Phoenix?
Phoenix and Idaho are the next two on the radar.
Chicago?
Not Chicago.
See, so you know how to do it, dude. And by the way, just FYI, you just said you don't know how.
Which part?
You said, I don't know how I'm going to get to 200 million.
Yeah, because I was about to say that once I make a goal, I don't even care how I'm going to get there. I already know I'm going to get there. The rest of it will play out as I go.
Oh, you were saying you don't know how, but you're getting there either way?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. I cut you off. I interrupt a lot because I have questions as people are talking.
I'm trying to get it out quick, so.
You're doing a good job. You're getting some good shit in there. Scaling a business sometimes is just as simple, but people want to make it complicated. Yeah. Like right now, why aren't you in 10 more states?
I mean, I probably could be.
Why aren't you?
We wouldn't be nearly as efficient. So
what makes you think that? Why would your office in Utah be any more taxed because there's somebody else in Chicago doing the same shit?
No, I think I could definitely be doing more. But the systems and the processes and all of the things that help the operational portion of it run smoothly so I can deliver the fulfillment is what we're trying to develop so it is duplicatable. And I can just pick it up and drop it in Boise, Idaho. I can take it out to Phoenix, Arizona. I can take it to Denver, Colorado.
So are you figuring out what the systems are, or are you documenting the systems?
So we're doing a little bit of both. And I'm working with Brandon Dawson. I'm heading to his house in 2 weeks to go put some of those extra pieces together.
That'll help you.
I think so. He's extremely knowledgeable, and he's done it to a certain level, not within my industry, but you know, a lot of it is, it transfers 100%. Over to different industries.
You know, Brandon's got his own little empire going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a smart dude.
Yeah.
So you want to be 200 million, but why 200 million? Why not? Why 200 million?
It's 10 times bigger than I'm going to be this year. And I'm always like, what's the next 10X goal?
So what's your personal goal? Because I know you're kind of becoming a celebrity. So what's your goal there?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but I definitely want to be more well-known because of my story and what I'm passionate about. Like, I'm not passionate about knocking doors, which is what I started off doing when I first got started in sales. What I am passionate about, though, is what I've developed into inside of that window industry and the door knocking industry, and a coach and a mentor and somebody that people can take some of these things that I've learned from and apply them in their life to get out of the shit show that they're in right now.
You got a book coming out called All In.
I do.
People can pre-order it.
Yep.
Where?
Pre-order it. JeffersonKRogers.com.
Was Jefferson Rogers taken?
It was.
So you threw the K in there?
I had to throw my middle initial in there.
What is it, Kevin?
Curtis.
Curtis.
Curtis with a K.
Curtis with a K? Yeah. Never heard of that. Curtis with a K. Jefferson K. Rogers.com. Go get the book All In. Now, if I saw you in 5 years, what am I going to see? Guru, motivational speaker, traveling the world, or still running JKR?
Yeah, I think I want to be able to go make a bigger impact on the world scale, and speaking is a way to do that. So I've done more and more of it. I'm coming out to speak at an event here at your place in November. I'm heading out tomorrow to go speak in an event in South Padre.
Do you get nervous at all?
I did the first time I spoke, and I, you know, you still get a little bit of the butterflies when you go up there. I'm sure you do too, a little bit. But
not really.
No. But I just love it, man, and I'm fucking good at it. So
I got to get good at it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
See, my problem is I don't take shit seriously.
Do you prepare?
Not really.
You know what's funny? Coach was so excited about the opportunity to go speak at 10X, and he prepared his ass off. And he's like, you know him, he's very systematized.
Oh yeah.
And he's got everything bullet pointed and mind mapped and incredibly detailed. And here comes Bradley. You guys are at 10X. And he's so excited. He's there with his wife, and Brad shows up and says, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about when I go out there. You know what you're talking about? And it blew his mind that you had gotten all the way there, and he had just spent the last 3 months straight preparing for this opportunity, and you hadn't given it more than like 5 minutes of thought. But you still, I was there for that one, and you delivered, man. That was impressive. If I would have guessed, I would have thought that you had prepared for that.
Well, that, I think I could be being insecure, but I think that's my weakness. Like, I don't take shit seriously, and if I did,
yeah,
I'd fucking crush people.
That's why Grant says that you're a dumbass, because you're not living up to your true potential.
But in whose opinion?
You just said it yourself.
Well, that's
in Grant's opinion.
Nobody is. You're not living up to your fucking potential.
No, I'm
Grant
not
ain't living up to his fucking potential either.
I'm not.
Right. So everyone, nobody lives up to their fucking potential. So what? But no. but my point is, like, I know that I need to prepare, but I also have to decide. And that's what most people miss, is you have to decide. Like, you decide shit. Like you said, once I decide, you're in.
Yeah.
I gotta decide shit. Someone, Sean Whalen, the other day said, why am I not doing 75 hard? And I said, because I'm 7.5 soft. You know, I'm always throwing funny shit out there. Like, yeah. You know, but why aren't I? Well, I already know what it teaches me. So what? Why aren't I doing it? I don't know. It's like I'm always this. And I think, you know, maybe it boils down to some sort of doubt. You know, like, boy, what if I, you know, I can say if I tried, I'd kick everyone's ass and blah, blah, blah. But I, like, who knows? Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't try. But I need to start trying more.
Well, you're a person of integrity, aren't you?
100%.
So make some commitments and then just go out and deliver for yourself.
You got to decide, though.
Dude. Yeah.
It's not about commitments. I do the same shit you do. I'll go 100 days and eat fucking hamburger out of a bag. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
When I decide something, I do it. I find it hard to decide.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I don't know if I want to freaking put on events and do all this shit Grant's doing and freaking Tony Robbins does.
Just remember this, what I was talking about, that anxiety of making the commitment, writing the goals down, and then you start thinking about all of the commitments and all of the discipline and the actions that it's actually going to take to deliver on that.
Right. So I'm going through it like, oh, you want me to speak? Cool, I'll speak.
I'll be there.
And then I come out and speak, and what's up? And a lot of people like it, and then a lot of people are like, dude, did he just say brush my teeth? Like, that was his big event? Well, like, they weren't listening, but yeah, brush your fucking teeth, people. If you're all so great at it, how come all of you stink? Okay, I get it. So many people come up to me and say, Brad, can I get 5 minutes? I got an idea. And I say, sure. Their breath's bad. It's like, dude.
Can't even pay attention to the idea when the breath's bad.
I know, but like, you didn't even know to brush your fucking teeth, dude? You didn't know that?
How many times you brush your teeth today, Brad?
You got up in the morning and you didn't know to brush your teeth. I brushed my teeth twice today so far.
I know.
Now, the problem is when we don't know that it stinks, our breath, for example. Yeah. So guess what? Carry around your breath spray. Preparation, which is my first thing that I teach people, because preparation is more important than most people think. Being prepared.
Absolutely.
And I'm the guy walking around unprepared half the time. But I'll teach it. I just don't always do it. Are you one of those that do it, or do you just teach it?
I'm not all that prepared either. I'm just...
Would you teach people to be prepared if someone said, should I be prepared?
I mean, lots of us we're good at teaching things. We're not always good at implementing them ourselves, though.
So. Yeah, I think I react well, meaning, you know, throw a spotlight on me and ask me some questions. I'm going to react well. Why? Because I have experience and I know my shit. Like, I don't feel like if Grant or Tony Robbins or... Well, maybe not Tony Robbins, because I think Tony Robbins, dude, is the...
Yeah, he's next level.
I think he's next level.
He's prepared because of all of his experience.
But if Grant was sitting in here talking about sales, he ain't no godfather of fucking sales. I'll outsell him. I closed his ass. He pays me every month. Okay? I'll close his ass from, you know, in other words, I'm better than him at that. He talks about real estate. Well, now you're going to hear me shut up. Because, dude, I don't know. I'd be listening to his ass for real estate. So it just depends on where the people's strengths are. But when I walk into a room, I don't think everybody in the room is better than me. So I think to myself, what do you want me to talk about? Oh, talk about, like Grant, he said, talk about your story. And see, I didn't understand. Nobody cares about my story, Grant. See, I should have listened to him. People do care about your story.
They do, man.
I know they do. Now that I know. Mm-hmm. So again, I should have just listened to Grant. He's older than me. He's done a lot more than me. But no, I was sitting there thinking, you know, my story. Nobody wants to hear about that. You know, what do they want? You know, what should they hear? And so I'm saying all this to make sure people understand. Listen, if you just follow basics, your life gets better. When your life gets better, you start to gain a little momentum. When you start to gain a little more momentum, you start to get a little excited. You start to stand up taller. You start to go a little faster. And hopefully nothing gets in your way and you just keep on rolling all the way to where you're heading. 100%. Too many people don't know where they're heading. When I asked you why 200 million, you said just because it's 10 times. Well, was it 20 million at one point?
It was. Not that long
ago.
Was
it 2 million at one point?
It was.
So it's not a once and done thing?
I just keep going, man. What's the next level?
So when is there a time you will stop?
So I think I'm building it out to a place where, you know, I'm working with Brandon Dawson for a reason. I work with these high level people that have built their companies to a place and sold them for a reason. Because
what was Brandon's company?
I'm not even sure what it was.
Okay, keep going.
But they talk pretty highly of it because they're marketing what they do. But I'd be interested to hear what it was and how it.
Yes, he's had several.
Mm-hmm. The last one they said it was like $151 million. They sold it for a 77 multiplier or 77, whatever the word is, EBITDA.
Well, it's 77 times EBITDA.
Times EBITDA. I'm not even
Do you
sure
know what EBITDA
means.
Is? EBITDA just means earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. So what they're saying is they got 77 times EBITDA, which is just a number after you take out a few things. But earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. That's your EBITDA. If you got 77 times, that's pretty freaking strong.
Yeah.
And he knows, and he's done it several times. Maybe I should call Brandon.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If I could get 77 times EBITDA for this place right now, shit.
Yeah.
I got 1.4 billion. Let him get me 77.
When you've got the subscription base, if you started inquiring about what you could sell this thing for with your subscription base and your loyalty and your niche, you'd be surprised what you get, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm trying to build, something strong that's consistently delivering results every month that I can sell and I can be able to move on to the next thing that I can put this type of effort into.
Well, you need systems, brother. I mean, and you already know this, but I say this more for the listeners. Especially in a business like yours, dude, you're putting in windows. What's the big deal? Like million people can put in windows. I can go get a million people to buy my windows from you.
Mm-hmm.
What are the systems and processes that you figured out, documented, and can easily duplicate that will make me, you know, joining yours or doing business with you different than everybody else? And those are the systems and processes. That's the shit I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah.
I call it scaling genius. How do you scale the few people that are really the magic in your company, the people, mm-hmm. the sales managers or the sales people for that matter, the founders, whomever has that charisma that gets everybody fired up, motivated, ready to kick ass. And then as soon as that person goes, it's boring around there. People
are
like,
I'll tell you what a piece of it is the vision. And that's what I contribute a lot of the accelerated growth of my business is as I had a vision. I had a mission of what I wanted to do early on, and it's continued to grow. Because originally I was just wanting to beat that other company I used to work for. They're still about the same size that they were, and I haven't kept track, but they're probably even a little smaller with COVID and everything. And we've continued to grow. Like month after month, we're breaking records. And in the beginning, it was me casting the vision to my people about how we're going to be different and what's going to separate us. And the things that I'm taking from what I learned at the time working for that other company that I wasn't ever able to implement. And now we're going to use these things to help us become a juggernaut within the replacement window and the home industry. And we're going to dominate this industry. And when you have a vision like that, you can attract good people and you can create a culture of everybody on the same page about pushing for the same goal and doing more than they were even capable of before without that type of environment.
Do you just knock on the door and say, hey, you need new windows?
You know what? It's I basically used the same exact thing that I did when I used for the when I worked for that other company. We just do it better and more consistently and more efficiently.
But do you knock on doors and say, hey, you need new windows? Or do you look at houses that need new windows?
So we're intentional about where we go. We have a criteria where we have the most success with the age of the home, how much the home is worth. And then we just go in there and we talk to them about the opportunity, the energy efficiency, making the home more comfortable, saving life on your AC unit and your furnace so they're not going to have to work so hard to consistently try and keep up with maintaining the temperature in your house.
And windows make that big of a difference, huh?
Yeah, damn right.
So if you came to my house and look, because I got a lot of windows,
yeah.
What's a average job cost a homeowner?
Our average job is right around $15,000.
Do they have to pay that, or is there insurance of some kind that they qualify for?
We don't have any of that insurance stuff. We're just going out there. Like, there's a lot of roofing companies back east where there's a lot of weather and damage and things, windows and roofing. You can use insurance. We just do it completely off of value and energy efficiency. So we're in a specific market. If I came to your house, a multi-million-dollar house, probably has a pretty similar quality window, because the contractors just use the shittiest thing they can find to save money. But you've never even seen your fucking energy bill. You don't care.
Well, I know it's up there.
Yeah. But if you go to somebody that has a house worth $400,000 and their energy bill is $350, they know exactly how much they pay every month because it hurts. And when I tell them that I can save 30 to 40% on their energy bills, if we do all your windows, they're interested.
What if I could show you a financing option for people that, because I'm sure you get no's because they don't have the money.
Yeah.
But they'd say yes if they did.
Absolutely. So we use financing.
Oh, you do.
A good portion of everything that we do is financed. And because of that, I'm actually looking to become the bank. And within the next year, that's one of the verticals that I'm looking at, is having my own financing. So I don't have to rely on what their criteria is to get somebody qualified.
What's We're going
to
have our rate?
Own criteria. What's that?
What's their interest rate?
We either do a 0% for 18 months, or we do a 9.9% for like 144 months.
Damn, that's 12 years.
12 years.
You want to wait 12 years to get your money back and only end up with 10%?
I get my money right up front.
Yeah, but not if you're the bank.
But not if I'm the bank, yeah.
Damn, that's scary. What about...
That's a big commitment, yeah.
Did you know that if someone gets a solar job on their house, they can upgrade doors and windows and get it included in that 30-year solar deal?
Yeah.
That's where I was going with that, because I know someone that was telling me about it, and he says, man, if you know anybody doing, you know, doors or windows where they don't have financing, do you have financing? Who do you use for financing? Just a third-party company?
Uh-huh. Green Sky.
Yeah. And it's pretty easy to qualify, or no?
Pretty easy. We actually use two different ones because they have different qualifications. One family wouldn't qualify here, and if they don't, then we hurry and do an application with this other one because they have a little bit higher qualification numbers.
So if people listening need doors, or not doors, windows.
Windows and sliding glass doors, for sure.
Sliding glass doors. Uh-huh. Called JKR. Called JKR Windows. Tell them that you're from the bomb squad. So
if you're some sort of here commish. In Nevada or anywhere in Utah. We can help
and
you.
I'll get some sort of commish.
I'll kick you down some commish, bro.
You don't need it. You don't need it. Dropping all this knowledge is payment enough for me. But, man,
yes,
if you're in Nevada or Utah, dude, got a good window company that definitely takes care of their people. That's what your main concern is. If you could have all the people that can't use your windows call you for something, what would it be?
I think... Dude, the reason that I want to go into speaking and I want to be able to reach more people is because there's things that I've learned throughout this last 12 years of picking up my very first book since my Goosebumps books back in third grade. And then all the personal development, the lessons that I've learned to become, you know, at the level of success that I'm at, I'm certainly not done. But there's people like where I was at the beginning or somewhere along the journey that need help and need direction. And just how Grant was kind of that catalyst for me, and his story resonated with me. I want to be that for other people. And if my story somehow resonates, I would love to be able to help and have a conversation and add a little bit of value. And I'm eventually going to have a lot more content out there that people can get exposed to that and have access to it. But right now, I don't. So you can call me and I'll have a conversation with you, because it not only gives me the fulfillment, but also gives me experience doing it.
Not only that, dude, but it's good shit, because you're getting it from the top level people anyway. So imagine, like, I don't have to go pay Grant whatever he charges.
Yeah.
I can just hang out with you and get exactly what Grant told you.
Yep.
You know Alex Hormozy?
Yeah.
That dude, if he's ever offering anything, I'd like, for marketing,
yeah.
Dude, amazing guy.
Yeah, he spoke at your event, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He's a smart son of a gun. He's moving to Vegas. But he went out and paid Grant $30,000 or whatever it is an hour Grant wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then he made a video on it. Now he's getting thousands of views because, people don't have $30,000 to hear what Grant said. He paid the $30,000 and is telling you what Grant said in their meeting.
No kidding.
I was like, dude, that's pretty freaking smart.
Smart man. He is a marketer.
Number two, but that's why Grant does it, dude. Deep down, a lot of people hate on Grant. A lot of people love Grant, but Grant's a good dude. He's trying to help people, make money and stop being so broke. That's why I like Grant, because he does try to help.
Yeah.
He gets his pockets filled at the same time, but I never hate on that. I think that's, a bonus. When you're out there trying to help people some way, shape, or form, that's when money starts coming your way. I used to be selfish. I used to want it all for me. How do I get rich? And I tried to close you to make money. But then I started actually, I think it was just I got older. Then I started actually wanting to help other people. And that's when the money started coming in.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I never understood that. I was like, dude, fuck that. I need to get rich. I don't want to help other people to help me. I want to help me.
Comes with time and experience and exposure and awareness, maturity. And I've just found that inside of the window business, it's taught me that I needed to find something that I loved inside of there. Otherwise, I would have fucking quit a long time ago, because knocking doors is tough.
It is.
And I didn't want to ever continue to do that for my entire career. But I love helping people, and I love creating those success stories and giving people an opportunity to come from being a plumber or a contractor or working at a medical office making $15 an hour or working in restaurants making shit money. And have an opportunity to come in first year ever doing sales. And I got guys making anywhere from $550,000 a year in their first year all the way to, $75,000 a year when they were just last year making $25,000 a year.
So there's another one. If you guys want a job, if you want to drop the shovel and, go freaking work with JKR Windows, hit them up. Hit them up.
We have a great system to show people success and be a part of a great culture.
Folks, if you're confused, JeffersonKRogers.com. I'm sure everything's there. Otherwise, follow him on social media at JeffersonKRogers. Go pick up his pre-order on his book, All In. Make sure you hit him up. Tell him the Bomb Squad sent you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
And go share this out, folks. There's someone that needs to hear this, and they're related to you. So share this bitch, and as always, keep it real.
Dropping bombs with the real Bradley. Subscribe now.